Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Amit Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platform and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. Hi, Katie. Hi, Angel. How are you?
I'm good. I'm coming at you live from beautiful Scarborough, Ontario.
What's wrong with that? That's beautiful.
Nothing. It is beautiful.
Put your, it was a Wheel of Fortune voice coming to you live from Las Vegas, Los Angeles, California, or whatever.
No, I'm finally not in Las Vegas anymore.
Yeah. You stayed there a long time. Like, I thought I was there for a long time. It was what, 11 days technically, but you were there longer?
No, you were there longer then.
Oh,
you
I win. Was. Okay.
I was there nine days.
Did I win?
But you took a bit of a, like, a nice family trip.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's how you broke it up. I didn't have any of that.
So you're just immersed in the Vegas culture, which I now understand, like, wow, this place actually exists. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre place in the world. It's pretty fun to lean into that when you're there. There's definitely a proper time to go. Yeah, I'm usually five. Like, I'm a bit of a sicko for that, but I really stretched it this year. I don't know that I'll need to do it again, but the W was like, W All-Star was there, so
that was cool too.
Yeah, it was nice to like see those folks, see that game, see Sabrina make history. That part was cool. Yeah.
Wow, Sabrina.
Yeah.
Holy. That's unreal. And apparently Steph Curry's reached out saying like, oh, now I got to break her record. And she's like, let's see it. I mean,
we remember Steph Curry in the 3-point contest. It did not look like that.
No, it did not. No, it was, man, that was an impressive shooting display by Sabrina. Mm-hmm. Gotta say, very good stuff from her in Las Vegas. I mean, it was my first time, but you're a vet of Las Vegas. You've been going to Las Vegas for how many years now?
That might have been my fifth summer league.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think it was my fifth. We lost a year in the pandemic, but yeah, admitted sicko. Still enjoying it.
Did it feel any different with the Raptors compared to previous seasons? Or was it always, you were always covering the Raptors, like mostly, right?
Yeah. Mostly the Raptors with some other, you know, opportunities on the side, depending on who's around and kind of who's in the mix. But I'll say it felt different in that directionlessness sort of seeped into this team. There are obviously high points and kind of bright spots and Grady Dick and Marquise Noel. I think like, and I'll have to say like Ron Harper Jr. I know we're going to get to this, but I just in kind of watching them not shape the team, because the team was quite formless. You saw them too. Mm. It was not the greatest basketball, but in looking at who is probably going to get time this year with the team or with 905, it was pretty helpful for that. I think, you know, in years past, I'm trying to think where I would rank this Raptors team. Maybe like last?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I mean, you think about it, like they were expecting Christian Koloko, Jeff Devin Jr., and probably Delano Banton to be there. I mean, I'm not sure at what point they learned that Delano wanted to move on. I believe that is the case, that they did not extend him a qualifying offer, because at some point in the late going, he was like, I kind of want to change the scenery. Maybe, I mean, it could be a combination of things. He didn't really report on it. I saw
Delano.
Yeah.
At the Delano. Having a good time.
That's a D-E-L-A-N-O. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But I was like, this is great and very fitting.
I'm sure he must have stayed there for that very reason, or at least gone there, right?
I hope so. I hope he stayed there for that reason.
I hope he got some kind of photo where like the Delano is just over his head. And then it's like one of those foreground background things that you're kind of tripping it out. It seems like you're on top of it or under it. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
But because of those three not being there, I mean, those are three players that would probably be in your starting lineup, and they weren't there. So, yeah, it changed quite a bit. It was the Cleveland game, which obviously Cleveland went on to win the Summer League title, where I'm like, yeah, these guys aren't at this level at all. They're not even close. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's okay. That Cleveland team was pretty damn good. And the Raptors, as we just mentioned, they're missing three players they thought would probably be there. And that changed everything. Three players is a lot. And that's okay. But we'll get to the Summer League thing in a second. The main conversation these days is around Pascal Siakam and where he's going. Is he going? How is it going to look? And you have some details yourself, but Will Lou has some details that he had mentioned on his podcast yesterday. And it was essentially kind of indicating that, you know, Pascal was not there because he was thinking maybe a trade could happen, and that his teammates were reaching out to him and they were saying that, you know, we don't want you to go, but it could happen. And everyone was sort of bracing for it. And then it didn't happen. Where are you at with, where are you at with that idea that Pascal is like indeed on the block and that he could not be with the Raptors next season?
I mean, when he didn't show, it was palpable he wasn't there, just considering the fact that you've got in every team. And again, like I would say, like not every Summer League team this year was that impressive. You know, you've got like your top picks, but even the teams they landed on themselves were not that good. And they finished early, but you still had, you know, the superstars and the leaders of those teams showing up courtside. Pascal's absence was pretty noticeable. I looked into it. I was like, okay, this guy's just still, he's extended his vacation, which is great. I'm happy for Pascal. He's having a good time. I wouldn't want to show up if my name was being kind of swirled around in trade rumors too. My sense of it is that the team is dragging their heels a little bit on making a decision.
You don't say.
Yeah, that might be stating the obvious, but the reasons for which, to me, and from what I've heard, seem to be you've lost Fred. You weren't necessarily expecting to lose Fred VanVleet. You've got to recalibrate now on what the vision and the plan is for this team going forward into next season. To me, yeah, you can keep Pascal. Maybe you should if you want to actually have kind of a winning-ish team. And for Pascal to step into that leadership role solo without Fred, to bring up some of the young guys that we've heard there's been a disconnect there. But there's also this sense of, is that even what Pascal would want to do? Can you put that on him? He's never been in that role before. Is that worthwhile? And do you just kind of clean slate it? Because you've already done that with your entire coaching staff.
Then some.
I will say that was a highlight, just seeing all those guys in Vegas showing up. They all didn't have to be there, but they all were. But do you now kind of look at the roster and think, we can only really retool for so long? Because then it's like the whole purpose of retooling is to build around one or a couple people that are ready to go when you don't need a lot of work. But what we've seen even last season with a pretty intact, what we thought to be a pretty intact and competitive team, was that the retooling didn't work for whatever reason, and they weren't ready and they weren't competitive. Now you've got on paper, and certainly if we're going to go off last season, a worse team. You've lost, you know, your primary ball handler. In some cases, most cases, your primary scorer. Are you just kind of looking like, all right, retool's over. We're going to clean house. We're going to see what we can get back and what the shape of this team likes in the future. I think they're a little bit up against the wall, regardless of the decision that they do make. But frankly, like, I don't think the Raptors can afford to stall for another season, because then it's like you keep Pascal, and then what are you going to do next year when the results are the same? So my sense is they are stalling, but the time is running out to actually decide what the shape of this team is.
They've been pushing it again and again and again, but at some point it's going to catch up with them. I hear you. And I think, I mean, it's puzzling because you bring in Dennis Schroeder and you have Jakob Poeltl, and Jakob Poeltl was on the podium the other day, and he was saying that, you know, I had mentioned that I had unfinished business here. I want to win. And then we get into this situation where we're talking about, are they going to bring back Pascal Siakam, a top 15 player in the NBA? And then you bring in Dennis Schroeder as well, who I think is, it's a good second option. I'll put it that way, right? Considering everything that he offers, and I'll probably do some stuff with CJ tomorrow, the day after. He actually played with Dennis for a little bit in Boston, and we'll get into that. But he's a good option considering what the Raptors were lacking last season, which was point of attack defense. He's a veteran. He can lead the team. He's worn several different hats in the NBA. And that adaptability is going to be really important when they have Scottie Barnes, who, I mean, did something with Savannah Hamilton in Vegas, and I was like, well, I guess Scottie Barnes is a point guard now, and here we go. But I mean, even Dennis, he may have slipped up just a little bit by saying that, you know, it's a cool to get a chance to start in Toronto. And then Vivek Jacob kind of asked me again, he's like, wait, so you're going to be starting? And then he's like, oh, wait, no. I mean, whatever my role is. And I was like, ah, you spilled the beans, Dennis. You spilled them. But you put those two, and then we get back into, again, can Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes, and OG Anunoby all last together? Can they coexist when the shooting isn't where it should be? And now Pascal Siakam, hey, I mean, I'm never going to doubt the man. If he comes back next season and he's a league average kind of person, he did it for spurts last season. I believe it was February. He shot 46% from three. Small sample size, right? But that happened. And I think, I don't know about you, but I find with Pascal, it's not about ability, it's more about mindset with his three-point shooting, you know?
Yeah, that's like a vague way to put it. I feel like that's vague and vaguely hopeful, but yes, that's where we've seen
it. I'm not saying he could be like a 40% shooter. I'm just saying, like, he's mentioned before that he's so in tune to being all crazy aggressive and getting to the rim. Like, those are his high percentage looks. But if he did just like focus in and hone in on, let's make these three, or let's get back to being that pull-up three-point shooter that I once was back in 2019-20 season. Maybe it can go better. But anyways, that's the question that the Raptors front office, that they're wrestling with, is like, they like all these guys. They don't want to lose OG. OG is their son. Scottie Barnes is the second son, the smallest son. And then you have Pascal Siakam, who, by all accounts, has done absolutely everything right in his stint with the Raptors. And if you re-sign him, you're not going to regret it. That's like point blank. You are not going to regret it because of what he does on the court and just how good of a person that he is on and off the court with his teammates. Like, you're not going to regret this decision, but it's the pieces around them, which makes the re-signing of Jakob and bringing in Dennis Schroeder a bit more puzzling. Again, like, I think Schroeder, I think there's more to his three-point shooting than he showed this past season. Actually, his best three-point shooting in his career was when he was with Darko in OKC. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, time is running out. And I don't know if they know where to go, even at this moment as we record the podcast. And it makes me think about this, like, this tweet I sent a few weeks ago, where I was just like, you know, I'm so used to the Raptors front office being a step ahead, but now it feels like they're two steps behind, which is odd.
I think that's accurate. I mean, I think they kept Jakob because the assumption was that Fred would stay, and then you'd have the kind of core three. And then I think Schroeder, I will quibble with your point. Yeah, he's a vet. I don't know that we've seen yet that he's a leader. And I don't know if stepping into a locker room that has had problems between the younger players and the older players in terms of criticism, being able to handle criticism, work ethic, things like that. I don't know that maybe it will work, because to me, Dennis Schroeder doesn't offer those things. Like, he's never really had to be critical of his teammates. He's never been in a leadership role. Maybe the younger guys will like that, because they'll be like, this guy's more chill, used to skateboard, whatever.
He still does. He's like kids now. Maybe you have to stop it. I don't know.
And like, you know, injury.
True. Liabilities.
To me, like, what you're talking about, these kind of being two steps behind, like, now that's so visible. Falling behind is so visible in the moves that the team kind of made, and this like scramble pickup for Schroeder. It's like, okay, well, we need a PG who's best available. We'll get this guy. He was never really part of our plans and who we were looking at. And now I will say, my sense and what I've heard is other teams are just getting very frustrated with Toronto in dragging their heels, because they want to be in the mix in these big trades, whether it's Tyler Hero or Damian Lillard, but they're waiting to see what the terms are instead of kind of offering up and leading on these trades. They're just like, well, if it's good enough, we'll get into it, which at one point, yes, shrewd business decision. But when you haven't been making great decisions, again, this just looks like stalling. And I think people are going to get a little bit fed up.
Yes, yes, yes. And it makes you think, as you said, though, is that maybe the Raptors, like the Dame sweepstakes are still very open. Yes, he wants to go to Miami. But maybe they think that if you add Damian Lillard to the Toronto Raptors in some capacity and you have, it could be Scottie Barnes involved in the trade. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, that could be what the Blazers are looking for. If I was them, I would too. But if you were to say that, okay, they have Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Gary Trent Jr., I don't know, Damian Lillard and Jakob Poeltl, then, like, that's a pretty damn good team for a couple seasons. But obviously you would need things to break that way. And even Tyler Hero too, like, that's another reason, like, there maybe there's a huge 3-4-12 team trade beyond coming up here where a lot of really good players are going different paths. But at the same time, I think probably, yeah, they're stalling a little bit and they want to see where that goes. And maybe they could think that, hey, if Damian Lillard does get figured out and he's off the market, then Pascal Siakam all of a sudden is the best piece out there for a team to add and a team that wants to, you know, compete for a championship. And maybe the deals get a little bit sweeter, just a little bit sweeter. And there's reason to believe that, like, they're stalling for sure. And I think all of us collectively, like, I've been preaching patience since the season ended, but hell, I'm getting impatient now. I want a decision made. And even if they come back with a starting lineup of Dennis Schroeder, OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, I mean, I wouldn't hate it, I guess, assuming that comes with the Pascal Siakam extension. But, you know, it's not going to be it. It's not going to be it necessarily. And but also then you want to give, I'm talking this out with you now, but you want to give Darko a shot too, though. You want to give Darko a shot. Like, I think there could have been more done with the team this past season that wasn't really revealed under the Nick Nurse regime. And I think probably Nick Nurse would say that too, that maybe his approach on offense wasn't right for the team. But Darko, by all accounts, even like what we saw a little bit in Summer League, I think there's something to it, and there's going to be a new culture, a new philosophy on offense, and maybe it could help. It's not going to solve everything at all, but it could help.
TBD, man.
I don't know, Katie. I need a decision.
We need a decision, because I will also say, from everything I've heard too, like, Darko is like relentless positivity. He's doing the most that he can to just be inclusive. There were a lot of team dinners and things like that in Vegas where he's obviously trying to.
Yeah, but who paid though?
Help repair something.
who put the card down? Was it Darko? I don't know.
My guess is yes. But you want him to have this intact team to understand what it is he's working with. And, like, also not just the on-court fit, but, like, where, if there are still repairs to be done, where those need to be made, and, you know, how he can help be the conduit for it. But everybody's hands are tied until they figure that out.
You know, it's also funny that Thad Young wasn't there either. And his contract has been guaranteed now. And him not being there, I mean, I think he had a basketball camp or something like that, but he would be the one at these things because he knows how important it is, but he wasn't there either. And we talk about leadership. Fred VanVleet being gone now puts, like, more, not pressure, but Thad Young becomes a huge leader in the locker room now, assuming he's there. But he's also a great salary match for something that could be coming down the line. And Gary Trent Jr. wasn't there either. Maybe that's, you hear anything about that? Like, why wasn't Gary there? Do you know why?
I didn't hear anything about that.
Working out in Florida? That's it?
Maybe.
That's what was reported on a broadcast, that, you know, he's out in Miami working very hard, which I don't doubt. I'm not making fun of him at all. But I'm still very hopeful on Gary and what he could be going forward. But, okay, that's enough of that. I've been delaying talking about Pascal stuff and all this stuff because I got nothing to offer necessarily. It's just like,
well, nobody does. Everything else, it's just kind of like hearsay stuff you've heard around, like stuff, conversations that, you know, a lot of the stuff is not surprising. It's what has been alluded to all season. And we're not going to know until that decision comes down.
It's like, I'm repeating conversation that we were having in November, December, January, February, March. And that's why I can't do it. I'm not a trade machine person either. That's not me. I can't do it. I can't envision trades. Like, oh, this guy. And then all of a sudden the trade comes. It's nothing we thought it would be. So why am I bothering? Let's talk about Grady Dick.
Let's get to Grady, yeah.
Let's get to Grady Dick. Okay. So Grady in Summer League, he averaged 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.5 steals, shot around 29% from three. You know, not the best percentage, especially considering his pedigree and what he came in. But your impressions of Grady, I think overall it was pretty good.
I think he was good. I think he was pretty quiet through those first two games. He wasn't necessarily the standout. Even like the standout shooting, I kind of expected him to do. He talked a little bit about that after those games in terms of adjusting to the spacing, just getting used to a floor, like an NBA floor kind of, which made sense to me, given just the way that he plays and the way he played in college. So I was curious how he would adjust. I thought he adjusted really well going into the third game after they had those 2 or 3 days off. He looked much more confident. Even a little bit more physical than I kind of expected. Yeah, I think he was pretty like connected on the floor with Warren Keese and Ron Harper Jr., who I mentioned before, as well as some of the other guys. So I think he was good. I also just think generally he took a lot away from Summer League, which is sort of the most important thing. It's one thing to just show up and play. I think it's a lot of it, especially for the guys that, you know, have guaranteed contracts or rookie deals. They know they're going to be with the team. They can relax a little bit about that part of it. A lot of it is the experience and what they're getting out of it, who they're meeting, you know, the coaching staff that they're going to be working with. So I thought he played well. I don't really have any complaints about it. Like, you can only play also as well as the team that you're on, which I will say apply to somebody like Victor Wembanyama, who that Spurs team didn't necessarily do him many favors.
No.
And being able to show up. So I think all things considered, Grady looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too. And for someone like him, his skill set, you know, the chemistry of the team and what is around him is pretty important. I think what will stood out to me is the complementary skills to his main skills that he showed off, like the passing, the rebounding, the hustle, the awareness in terms of being like where the passes need to go. And just when he had the ball in his hands, some of the ball handling that he did show, you know, working in the pick and roll a little bit, operating the pick and roll or in DHOs with Moses Brown, hitting some of those like pull up twos and pull up threes, like that's all really good stuff. And, you know, as the tournament went on, as you mentioned, like he started using his pump fake a little bit more. It became more of a go-to. And for someone like him, and for a lot of shooters that have so much gravity around the perimeter, like a little pump can give you the space that you need to get to the rim. And he realized that over time. And I also like that, you know, the first two games, those are the ones that I saw. He shot 3 of 12 and 5 of 13. I think for a first round pick, the shots needed to be more, you know, like, I mean, it's, I think it's reasonable to say that when you are a first round pick, that the ball should find you a little bit more. And that's just the reality. Like when it comes to summer league, some guys are trying to show that they can play defense. Other guys are trying to show that they belong. Other guys are trying to show up all the skills that they have. But for Grady, like we know that he can shoot. It's not a question of that. Like his ceiling is going to be predicated on these other skills that he gains, right? Mm-hmm. So it is going to be like driving the rim. It's going to be rebounding. It's going to be passing the ball. And I think it's important that he does that. This is his place to bleep up a little bit. He should do that here, right? And like the shooting, it wasn't as good as you wanted it to be, but some of the shots he hit, you're just like, wow. Okay, that's pretty impressive. He had this like he goes to the screen against Golden State Warriors and he hit this like catch and shoot three, and like he got that ball off quick. And I think that there's reason to think that some of the spot up looks he missed, they'll probably go in the future. And everything about Summer League was very strange. Like the Raptors, the games that I saw, like their offense, they had like two plays were running, like legit two plays. But afterwards, after they had those few days off that you mentioned, they had more sets going on. And I think that, again, does help him. And his gravity as a shooter is going to be what makes him special. And along with, you know, his threat and the weaponizing of his shooting and also just hitting shots. And we saw more of that as the tournament went on. But a lot of good things about Grady. Some people were a little bit down on the pick after seeing things like Kobe Bufkin and Keontae George and Cam Whitmore were doing, which is fair. But what I appreciate about the Grady pick is that the Raptors, they were trying to find a piece that fits.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
And I think that's important. It's not, doesn't always have to be best player available, because then you end up with what you saw last season, where a lot of guys want to shoot the ball and a lot of guys want to be ball handlers and they didn't have those other skills, or maybe they weren't really willing to do those skills, but Grady just fits.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, going back to what we were talking about off the top, the fact that he fit the team they probably pictured themselves having, which has obviously changed now. But yeah. I will say he still fits. Like you want shooting, right? You want it very badly. And Toronto does maybe the most. So he'll fit like whatever team kind of falls out, I think, when the season yeah. starts. And, you know, it is just summer league, but the way he was able to adjust really quickly, the way he was really accountable for those adjustments, you know,
yeah,
I think he talked about energy, being aggressive, kind of like wanting it more, rudimentary in summer league, but important, I think, for a rookie. Mm-hmm. So, and I will say it was good to see him operate on an even keel in what can be a pretty, how do I put it nicely? Like chaotic, frenetic environment of basketball.
It is.
Yeah. Bodies flying, balls flying everywhere.
A 10
yeah.
minute warm up, get on the court, 7 minute halftime.
Yes.
After the game, get off the court. Next team's up.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think he stayed pretty even keel and, like, you know, he's a pleasure to talk to. From everything I've heard, he's just like good kid, good head on his shoulders. Yeah. And I think we got to see that a little bit. It's about personality fit too. So I think the fact that the team doesn't necessarily know what's happening, he's shown himself to be a little bit of a chameleon and he'll be able to fit in where he needs to.
100%. Now, for anyone wondering or curious, I did do an interview with Grady Dick and Marquise Noel.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
At Summer League. So those are on the podcast feed and on YouTube. If you want to check them out, they were really fun. Bit of basketball, bit of everything else. He's a really good fisher. I already saw that he did do some fishing.
In Vegas?
No.
He went home. Like, where?
Back in Wichita. Right. Okay. Yeah. He did some fishing there. He told me he was really good at it. And I saw a video of him doing that post Summer League. So good for him. What gives you confidence that he's going to be productive at the NBA level next season? And also, do you think that he's going to be playing a lot of games at the NBA level, or is it going to be a lot of G League?
This is tough because, again, like, who's on the Raptors?
True.
My sense is the team really values him and his development, but I think they want that in an accelerated NBA sense. So I do think he'll play more. I think he's going to play way more than somebody like Malachi Flynn. You know, I think that we will hopefully see the resurgence of Raptors down to 5 as a viable pipeline to the Raptors.
Gosh. Man, seriously. Sorry, but yeah.
Yeah. And actually, like, development coming back into focus. He's a little bit farther ahead than, you know, Marquise or somebody else if they end up signing somebody else from this team.
Yeah.
So I think, to me, Grady's place would be with the bench with the Raptors. But I think he'll be very valuable. Like, he's shown himself again to be able to, like, take on responsibility to kind of do and be where he's asked to be. He's not going to be a leader by any means. Like, we still want to see that out of somebody like Scottie Barnes. So I'm really curious to see how those two play off of each other, if and when they do,
on
the floor, in the locker room too. But I have a sense that a lot will probably be asked of him, because a lot is often asked of, as much as we're like, what's the front office doing? What's going on here? They still have a set of expectations, you know, for all their picks, no matter where it is that they came in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, you look at their team, and obviously 3-point shooting is useful for them. I think his role with the Raptors would be very different from his role in Summer League, whereas mm-hmm. Summer League, he's not going to be taking 19 shots, I'll tell you that. With the Raptors, it'll be a lot of spot up threes. It'll be like, you know, one dribble pull-ups, some drives to the rim, and he'll get some minutes here and there, and maybe he is more of a focal point of the offense just to use his threat, as I mentioned. There were a few cases where in that last game where it actually was the case where, you know, he's drawing two and then there's a cutter going to the rim. It could be stuff like that. If he shows he can make shots at the NBA level, it's going to get the attention of NBA teams. Mm-hmm. And then now he's probably going to get more minutes that way. But I think he could be in that Delano Banton role when he, I think it was a last season before, where he was asked, like, what do you do on your days off? He's like, what are you talking about? What days off? Like, either I'm practicing with the 905, games with the 905, mm-hmm. games with the Raptors, or practices with the Raptors. Like, he could just be kind of going up and down a little bit, and his role is going to be so different in both cases. It's going to be very beneficial for him. Like, mm-hmm. in the G League, you could make him more of a focal point, and, like, now he's dealing with, like, that next level of, like, you know, guys are tugging on his shorts, and they're holding his arm when he's going around, he's curling around screens, and, like, that kind of stuff to get out of your rhythm. If he's able to conquer that at the G League level, now you do it again at the NBA level. It's just like the little steps that you make. Mm-hmm. So he should just play a lot of basketball. And defensively, I hope he can just be a good team defender. The one-on-one defense, which, I mean, not to say that it's a bit overstated, but being a one-on-one defender in today's NBA is really, really hard. Like, there's only a few guys that can do it. It's like to actually keep a guy in front of you when the talent is, like, ridiculous, more so than it was like 10 years ago. It's pretty hard. So if you know where to be on the court, you're situationally aware, you can, you know, rebound the ball, get steals. He's got good hands. Like, I think there's more to his defense from a team perspective than he's been given credit for. So you put those all together. I mean, yeah, he could have a role with the Raptors, but it could just be on, you know, as you mentioned, the direction where they're going. It could be 25 minutes. It could be 10 minutes, right? It really depends. And mm-hmm. I mean, they brought in McDaniels. They have Otto Porter Jr. Maybe he's healthy. I know it's a funny thing to talk about.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, for his sake, man. I hope that he's able to, because, like, this is his second year of his contract.
And ours. I'm not willing to, like, give up on Otto Porter Jr.
No, man. He's, like, the games that he played, I mean, I'm doing this again. The games he played, he was pretty valuable.
Yes.
He was.
Yeah.
So he was on the podium during his intro press conference, and he's like, yeah, I think we could compete for a title.
That, we all thought that. You can't put that on him. We know, all, to know, different levels of delusion, perhaps thought that.
I know. How stupid we were. Collectively stupid.
Okay. Hopeful.
Yes.
Optimistic.
Stupid. We're all fooled by the gimmick of Vision 6-9. All of us. And then the NBA is like, yeah, but we got these adjustments. And then, case closed.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, anything else on Grady? You're good?
I'm good.
All right. Marquise Noel, 12 points, 34% from the field, 33% from three, 6.5 assists, which was fifth overall in Summer League, 4 turnovers per game. Last game against the Warriors, 17 points, 12 assists, 3 rebounds. Your thoughts on him?
Mighty energy guy. Yeah. Energy guy, trash talker. Just like everywhere, kind of on both ends of the floor. Not always well, but, like, tries to be, get everywhere he can. Reminds me a little bit of a Summer League Desmond Bane. And look at the great things he went on to do. Desmond Bane, who I still wish the Raptors and drafted. I remember
I didn't want to mention that. I didn't want to mention that, but okay.
All right.
You did it. Good. That's fine.
We'll probably find more minutes with the 905.
Yeah.
But that will be good because I think he'll have a leadership role there. I also got to sit down and chat with him, and I was really impressed by just, you know, on the floor, just kind of a whirlwind, a little bit of a Tasmanian devil off the floor, really thoughtful, super calm, talks a lot about the game in terms of it being a bit of a chessboard and liking to try and figure out moves as well in advance as he can. So, but acknowledging he's not 100% there yet, of course, but a very cerebral player in that sense, which was really nice to hear. I think the team, from what I've heard, the team is excited about the parallels between him and his story and his route to Fred VanVleet.
Who said that? Okay, fine. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Sources.
My
source is me.
If you think about it, that is true. And I can see why they would be excited about something like that, especially given what they're going through right now. But yeah, overall, I think, like, you know, grain of salt, take it with a grain of salt, but he could, everything I mentioned, good developmental prospect. Picturing him working with somebody like Jamma again, I think that's a great fit. And I think he will be a real fan favorite. I hope he does get minutes in Toronto. We're not just seeing him in 905. I hope, again, to go back to the pipeline, I hope we reconstruct that.
Yeah.
And he gets to see the floor in Toronto just for, I don't know, early season minutes, slump minutes, late minutes. But I think he could be a good addition.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Has there been anyone since Fred, Pascal, and Norm? Because OG didn't really do a lot of 905. He was pretty much an NBA player from the get-go. But has there been anyone since then that has been a rotation player, that's gone through the pipeline and been a rotation player for the Toronto Raptors? Is there anyone?
No, we were supposed to see it with Malachi, right?
That's
with
insane. Malachi Flynn.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I understand, like, you had Tampa, you had a lot of reasons why that whole side of things just got shut down. And it also sounds like, from what we know now, Nick Nurse not really putting the importance on that, maybe not thinking he needed to as a viable sort of backup for the team. But yeah, I think it was supposed to be Malachi was the next option. I'm like, Precious wouldn't have really seen that, like, minutes there, or like that switch. But no, we haven't seen those sort of side-by-side success stories. No. Maybe Boucher a little, but
for sure. Sorry, that he would be the other one then. It would be Chris Boucher. What's crazy about, I mean, it's crazy for a bunch of reasons, but as I've learned more about the NBA and, like, the acceptance of roles and how important it is, right? Like, all those guys that I mentioned, all four of them, right? Chris Boucher included, is that they have gone through, like, the stages of becoming, like, a bona fide NBA player and even, like, reaching new heights. All of them did. Like, when they got in, I remember Fred talking about it. Like, I knew my role, play defense, run pick and rolls, and hit threes, right? Pascal, energy guy. Norm Powell, defend, go out there, guard Paul George. And he did all of that. Chris Boucher, he found his way eventually. And there's been no one since then. And it's Nick Nurse, it's Raptors, it's those guys. I don't know. There's been no one since that has gone through those phases of becoming, like, a true NBA player, like a consistent NBA player. And that is where the disconnect is. Like, is it players not accepting that this is the road you got to take? Or is it them not getting the opportunity? I don't know, but that is crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that many years.
I think it's a mix. You've also got, like, a coaching talent drain on the 905 side too, right?
Yeah.
And not keeping people. So there's no continuity there, which I think you want continuity in your main team. Granted, like, assistants bop around here and there. But I think if you want a strong developmental footprint, that's where continuity is the most worthwhile. Because you're just trying to teach fundamentals, right? And just trying to teach guys up in that. I think, to add to Malachi, like, Delano, I think Delano Banton did as much as he could with what he had available to him. Take that how you will. So I don't really put that on him as much.
You
said too, like, he played all the time. Like, he was playing so much basketball. It was where he was not necessarily getting a shot to show that.
There was, did you see this quote from QJ Peterson? You see that story from him with the New York Knicks?
No.
It's a long story, and I don't know if anyone wants to Google it. It's kind of made his rounds a little bit, but he sort of talked about, you know, he got one of the last spots on the summer league roster of the Knicks, and he was told, all right, you probably won't play the first few games. It's just like, it's long. I don't want to go through all of it. Like, just look it up. But essentially, he went from the not going to play the first few minutes of the few games. Then he does really well in his 3 minutes. Then the Knicks are down in the game. He comes in, he gives them life, he gives them spirit. And then in the final game, he's able to actually show what he can do. And he's a scorer by nature, but he did everything that he was asked along the way. And then the final game, he had like 17 points or something like that. And he was getting a lot of praise from Tom Thibodeau, but it's like that kind of journey. And it's probably, you know, why isn't someone else taking that journey with the Toronto Raptors recently? It's probably opportunity. It's probably, like, you know, the philosophy. I still have a lot of problems with, you know, Masai being on the podium and saying that maybe I should have paid attention more over the past few seasons. I'll be more hands-on. Like, you were seeing it, though. You were seeing guys not play, right? And I think that's why probably Malachi Flynn might be with the team next season, because you know, they probably feel a little bit guilty. Like, he wasn't given the shot that he probably should have been. And that's why I really wanted Delano Banton to be under this coaching staff.
Me too.
I thought he was going to be great. But, I mean, if he wanted to go, he felt like maybe, you know, Toronto being so close to home wasn't the right fit. He wanted to go and do his own thing. I get that too. But I think there's an NBA player there.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I agree.
You can't take me off that hill. He is an NBA player. Marquese Noel. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even give him my thoughts on him. A lot of tangents, today. Like, it's been pent up. I haven't done a podcast about the Raptors. It's been like a lot of looking at summer league and interviews, which have been awesome, but
get it out.
These feelings are coming out now.
Katie. Yeah.
These feelings are coming out. from what I saw in summer league, what I liked about him is that he continued to dictate play with his style, right? Because at his height, 5'7", I think he's 160 pounds. He has to dictate how things are going to go. And if he isn't, then he gets in trouble. And as you mentioned, he wants to be a few steps ahead, chess, not checkers. It's important for him to maintain that speed, to maintain that aggression. And he did it constantly. He told me, he's like, yeah, I'm a reserve guy off the court, but on the court, I want to rip your eyes out. And he kind of smiled, but not really.
Verbatim.
Yes. I want to tear your eyes out. That's what he said.
Wow.
Yes.
I got a softer side, I guess.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about taking anybody's eyeballs.
No, I forget where it, how it came up, but, I think I actually challenged him, like, were you the guy in school, you know, poking the bear a little bit at guys? He's like, no, I'm a pretty chill guy off the court. And I'm like, yeah, it seems like. He's like, yeah, but on the court, I want to tear your eyes out. I'm like, okay, gotcha.
Visceral. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, from the Raptors coaching staff standpoint, with everything we understand about Darko, you know, he wants to run high pick and rolls, and his ability to change speeds, the switching of gears, is such an asset in a high pick and roll system. Now for him, he already has the ball handling. He has the presence, the vision passing. I can't believe he's able to find these angles at his height, because obviously they're not the same for him versus another person, but he finds these guys, and he's got these small windows to make these passes, and that are even smaller for someone of his height. And he constantly does it. That's why it's hard to bet against him. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that you're just like, I got a feeling. It may not be like a star in the NBA, but I feel like he could be a rotation player at some point. Just like a DJ Augustine, who was 5'11", Kemba Walker was 6 foot, Earl Boykins, 5'5", 135 pounds. He played 12 years in the NBA, right? That's insane. Yeah.
There's good blueprints. He's got good blueprints.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. And he's been in contact with all those guys from what he told me, that there is a bit of a fraternity with all of them.
Yeah.
They try and help each other out. But for him to have an on-court success, probably just keep on doing you, but also three-point shooting. It has to get a little bit better. And his step-back shot, his two-point pull-ups, similar to the other shorter players that have lasted in the NBA, you got to be deadly as a shooter. And that's not there yet, but that's not to say that he can't get there. So good stuff from him. I love his aggression. I love his passion. Like, I saw him get a standing ovation in that first game. Right? He got a standing ovation when he was like, he fell and he did the,
I got that on
video. It
was
video. A 2-on-1 and he somehow caught the pass going from one the ball handler to the other player. I was like, wow, how did you do this? But it's anticipation. His IQ is really, really good. And one thing that, again, that I thought interesting that he said is that I'm different than all these other guys that were playing at this height.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, damn, okay.
Well, you have to be. I'd argue you'd have to be for the league to still, the league, which is sizing up all the time and sizing out, right? With like wing size, like that, you'd have to be. Or otherwise, you wouldn't have made it this far. You know, you have to like take, you've got blueprints, but how do you improve on those? Like, what are you going to do a little bit differently? You've got to already be way more of a developed. Like, again, we talk about this kind of cerebral sense, but like developed in whichever capacity, whether it's physicality, your kind of court sight and all of that, than they were, because the game has just accelerated and advanced. So you got to keep up. But from what I've seen, speed wise, he can.
Yeah, definitely. He's
pretty quick.
Yeah. And he's got the vision passing, as I mentioned. Like he's able to slow down the game. He sees it at a unique level. So good things from Marquise. I imagine he'll spend most of the season with the 905, but that's going to make that team really exciting.
Yeah, I think so.
Any standouts from you from Summer League? Any other ones?
Let's see.
You want to talk Ron, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll always talk Ron. I think it showed that Ron had a other full summer league under his belt, not to mention full season with the 905. Ron is also someone who I think suffered from not getting a true sort of two-way experience. I think he looked really complete for a summer league, like really serious in a way. Like, again, he'd done it before. He even matured, I think, to the point where the last time I talked to him was last summer league. But like chatting with him this time around, eyes not as wide, Granted, of course, that goes back to everything he did in this past season, but I thought he played really well. I thought he was great in kind of the limited clutch minutes this Raptors team got. I thought he was really well in terms of making the right decision, whether it was the right pass, right shot. Yeah, I think I would really, I don't know if it's reasonable, but I would really like to see him get some minutes with the Raptors this season and not just be stuck with 905. Who else? I don't know what his chances are on being with the team, but I did like watching DJ Hogue play basketball.
He
I
can
thought
hoop, man. He's a hooper.
his
He
like
knows how to play.
physicality, like those Australians, like even if you just want to talk about, kind of fresh guys are, especially the ones that are like maybe just out of college and haven't really done an international circuit. Just his develop, like his physique, and like his development in that sense, and kind of knowing how to force his way around the floor was really cool to watch. He's also got good finesse, I think, which was a nice in games that are often lacking that.
No, for sure. No, I see. I hear what you're saying. Like, there's a combination. He's got that a bit of a European flavor where he has the size, but he can shoot the ball a little bit, and his court sense, it's pretty good for him, and
I
I
was
think it's going
like,
to serve him well.
is this second coming to Blake Griffin
Oh my gosh!
in a couple games?
Oh my gosh!
Anyway, I think we both also like Moses, right? I think we did. Maybe. Okay. Maybe not.
I was going to talk about someone else, but
Okay.
I just want things to work out for Moses. Like,
Yeah.
he was a bit
Yeah.
up and down, and the flashes are there. Like, sometimes you see the blocks that he has, the offensive rebounds. It's good, but then there are other times you're like, bro, what are you doing? What are you up to? But at his height and his touch around the rim, you give him a pick and roll partner like Marquise. It could pop a little bit, especially at the 905 level, and then maybe he can find some consistency. But it's consistency is what I'm kind of looking for from him. And I think, his road, he probably just needs someone. He needs some TLC, I think. Like, seven teams, I believe, in what, 3, 4 years in his NBA career. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. It's a mental toll, and you're kind of battling yourself. I imagine every time he touches the ball in a game, he's holding a little bit tighter because of how much pressure there is. He could probably use a bit of a break. Someone to give him a chance, another chance, I suppose you could say. And maybe it's the Toronto Raptors. Like, they could, probably use a bit more center help. I think Christian Coloco, I hope Christian Coloco, it would have been great to see him in Summer League, but I'm hoping he has more of a role with the Raptors this season as their backup center. I think he's earned it. And, there was definitely progression from where we saw him at the beginning of the season than where he was at the end. But you can't have too many 7-footers, I don't think. So I'd be more than happy if he was given a shot.
Who else did you have?
Mohamedou Gueye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was the guy that stood out to me after I did the interviews with Marquise and Grady. I was talking to Raptors PR. I'm like, let me just see the first game and we'll decide who we want to go with. And he popped immediately. And then I spoke to him and he was such a cool guy. And aside from that, though, you can see the comparisons to Chris Boucher immediately. Now, Chris was a better scorer, a much better scorer, and that's why he had so many accolades at the G League level. But I think for both of them, Mohamedou and Chris, their role in the NBA is going to be pretty similar. And Mohamedou, he told me that, he, like a lot of guys, he was small, he was a guard, and then he grew. He shot up. And now he has these guard skills. He can run in transition, he can pass the ball a little bit. He's got a 3-point shot, he can block shots, obviously. I think if we're talking about the Raptors have two more two-way spots, right? Marquese Noel has one of them. They have two more. I could see them going to Ron Harper Jr. And I could see them another one going to Mohamedou, or it could be Moses Brown. I don't know. But I could see that because of what he did on the court. I mean, I think he'd be an interesting player to bring into the system. And if the Raptors indeed don't care about age, he is a bit of an older prospect. I think he's like 26 or something like that. But
ancient.
You know, so yeah.
Stop being sarcastic.
I know you are. I know you are. But I think he'd be an interesting player to bring on and get into your system and just develop because of all the skills that he has. He can guard on the perimeter. There's switchability. He's a bit thicker than Chris's. And there's a wingspan there. He's like a 1 inch taller.
Which is not so bad when you see the way that, you know, I don't think so much anymore because Boucher's really mastered this kind of wideliness and explosiveness, but not getting pushed back or back down on his way to the basket.
Some of that Chris Boucher heart. And he has spoke to Chris a little bit, actually. And he said they had some nice conversations. So that was the other guy. Outside of them, that was, I hate to put it that way, that was kind of it.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. You want the best for everybody, but you look at what the team wants and needs and who fits that.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if DJ Hogue got a shot, though. Yeah.
Hogue.
Yes, sorry. I knew it was Hogue, and I said Hogue.
I was saying Hogue for a long time, and then
even as I said corrected. It, I'm like, "You're saying this right." I was saying to myself, "You're saying this right," and I still said it wrong. Dumbass. Okay. Anything else, Katie? Anything on Darko? What was your impressions of him? One thing I love about Darko, just real quick, is that the scrum that he did with the media, he walked up and he didn't know where to look, which was adorable. Because he didn't realize he was in a scrum setting, and he's going to find out what scrums are like, that's for sure. But it was like a few of us there, and he's just like, who do I look at? And we're like, well, you kind of look at whoever's talking to you. He's like, oh, okay. But everything outside of that was terrific. He seems like a really humble dude, and everyone seems to like him, which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go back to that, what I heard of just him, you know, taking the team, initiating a lot of team activities. And understanding the importance of that, just kind of being a relentless good vibes guy. I think that goes well beyond a surface level and understanding. It's one thing to understand that's what the team needs right now, but I also think that's just where that's the place he operates from. So I'm at, I think every game that I was at least watching, which is great because he's got to get a sense of his coaching staff as much as, you know, who might be a fit for the roster. I liked everything that I saw. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I am very hopeful.
100%. I saw him stretching with the team. Yeah. Isn't that great? When we were able to enter their ballroom.
Their post-practice yoga sessions.
Right. And he was doing it with them. Isn't that great? And he was doing some on-court stuff with them. And I saw him at one point, my last image of him before I departed Vegas, or at least work-wise, was he had two coffees in his hand and he was going back into the practice facility. So he was bringing a coffee for someone, Katie.
Yeah, he brought someone a coffee. See? I love that.
Team building.
Never get so big time that you're not able to bring somebody a coffee.
Everybody needs caffeine.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As I drink my coffee right here. Thank you, Katie. This was fun. Anything you want to shout out? Anything coming up?
I will have some Summer League recap pieces for Sports Canada.
Hey, I work there.
Currently, yes.
Beautiful. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy your... Keep on enjoying your summer. Pascal Siakam news, Raptors news. We're all waiting. All waiting. Talk soon.